Blog Talk Radio.
evening and welcome to tonight's episode of Off the Rack, brought to you by Team of Voices, a poetry group that you can find on allpoetry.com. And tonight we're going to have some fun talking about two words that can be taken like a couple of different ways, I think. who cares? You know, the idea of giving a crap or not, you know. It's just one of those statements that, I don't know, it's motivating, but it's not. It's controversial, but it's not. It's indifferent in a lot of ways, but it's not. Who cares? I don't know. I've got Pretty Bird on the line with me. Hello, Pretty Bird.
Hello.
Oh, man. So we're going to have a quiet night, I hope. Who cares?
We're going to park. It's never quiet when we're around.
Yeah. Well, that's the beans. But who cares? Because we're on the radio and you can't tell.
OMG.
Oh, my God.
So a little bit about the song before we get too far into anything. That is I Don't Care Anymore by Phil Collins, the second single off of his second solo album called Hello, I Must Be Going. Came out in 1982. The first single was You Can't Hurry Love, and I Don't Care Anymore was never actually released as a single in the UK, which I found quite interesting, just seeing that that's where he's from. So, interesting stuff. One of his most recognizable songs, and absolutely perfect for this evening's time.
Yeah, with the unique signature Phil Collins drums. It's the thing about him, I think, that I remember more than anything was that he didn't want to be a front man. He didn't want to, you know, do be a singer. And he ended up doing both. But anyway. That's,
I don't know if you've ever tried to play drums, but that is a full body experience, especially if you've got a double bass drum. So you've got both legs going, both arms going. You're balancing basically on your tailbone, and then you're going to try to sing. So more power to them, because that ain't easy.
Yeah, my godmother wanted to buy me drums when I was little, and my mother said, only if we get to keep them at your house. So needless to say, I never got drums.
I bought my kid drums. He never played them. And he's a drummer. Like he played drums for 7 years, but he didn't play his own set. Don't ask me. Kids are weird.
I bet he doesn't care either.
Not even a little bit. I live in a no-shit household, unless we're talking about my dog, but we're not, so we're not going there.
Oh, man. There's a snarkiness about that statement when someone says, who cares? You know, there's something about it that just, I won't call it welcoming.
Like
but yeah. it's a little biting. It's a little, you know, it's just like one of those, it really makes you think in a lot of ways, or at least for me it does, you know, because there's a feeling behind it, I think, that, you know, isn't necessarily based in fact. Like, you know, if you think about your friends sometimes, you know you got people in your life that care, but Even you know, knowing it is one thing, but the feeling that nobody does sometimes is totally different. And that was kind of the main thought behind the prompt and at least my poem tonight was you know, that feeling of loneliness that comes over you sometimes that you get when you know, you're surrounded by people, but it doesn't seem like any of them really give a shit. You know, oh, did I say that?
Yeah.
Yes, I did. PG-13. Okay. Yeah.
That's a PG-13 word. But I'll say this. When I'm like with a group of people or anybody or my kids or whatever, and somebody does something, they rip their pants, they spill something, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter, which is completely different than who cares? Like, F you. And it's funny because it's very tonal. You know, if you take a tone, you're basically, you know, just stabbing someone. But if you don't, it's all, it's all good. So there, it's many different undercurrents And let me tell you what, it's one of those phrases that you can mean one way and somebody perceives it some other way, and all of a sudden you're an a-hole.
Yes, yes. And I was thinking about the narcissistic angle of it too sometimes, because, you know, the reality of it at the end of the day, you know, our problems are our problems. And, you know, they may not affect other people. At the end of the day, we're the ones that go home with them. So, you know, it's a lot of times it just feels that way. It's like, well, nobody else has any real reason to care because it doesn't affect them. So, you know, I mean, obviously you care about your friends and you worry about their well-being and things like that. But, you know, it's like, well, you know, nobody, you know, the powers that be, they're not going to do anything. It doesn't matter to them. It doesn't affect them. So they've got no reason to do it, you know, business wise. That whole, you know, oh, you know, we're in it for the money or whatever. It's sometimes, you know, it's not. It's the bottom line that they watch. It's not, you know, it's the right thing to do. It would cost too much money to implement, so we can't do it. And you know, they come across like, you know, well, then, you know, you act like you don't really care. You know, they're doing it for the money and not for...
And that's the difference. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, they do it for the money and not for the altruism.
But, see, there's a big difference between who cares and I don't care, you know, where it can be... That's very personal, very, very in-your-own-feelings kind of statement when you say, I don't care, mm-hmm. rather than who cares, like, why would anybody, or it doesn't matter, or... Where it's, well, I don't care. Like, you can do whatever the heck you want. It makes no difference to me. And it's a very subtle, because they could mean the same thing, but it adds a certain level of extra disdain when you're like, well, I don't care. Like, because, you know, I'm the queen of no shit. And so, you know, but I tend to not be all like, well, I don't care. The only time I do that is when my kids are all with 4.5 million questions, and I'm like, I appreciate you asking, but, you know, you do what you want, but I can't, well, never say do what you want. Yeah, I don't care what, you know, but I also have to be very careful not to ever, when it's anything personal or that they might want to show me or be proud of whatever, that they don't accidentally say that, because that can just crush a kid. So.
Yeah,
probably best not to ever say I don't care, because the truth is, most people that say I don't care really do, and most people are like, who cares? Me, I care. I it's always me.
Yeah, you know, I tend to think of it in a way like a rallying cry sometimes, too, because there's, you know, two sides to everything. So, you know, when you say who cares, there are people that do, you know, most of the time anyway, for most things. You know, even though, you know, there are a lot of people that don't. So, you know, it's a glass half empty, glass half full thought, too.
We know what I think about that.
Your glass is the wrong size?
Oh, no, but I'm happy to tell you if you don't remember. I've got a whole philosophy on this half full, half empty nonsense. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Okay, so. If you are pouring water into a glass and you pass that halfway point and you pour some out to make that halfway, then because the intent was to fill it halfway, it is half full. However, if the glass was full to begin with and you're pouring it out to make that halfway point and you pour out too much or you have to pour some back in, it is still half empty because your intent was to empty it first. So it's a convoluted mess of whatever, and it's all about the context. There is no easy peasy, you know, way to be half full or half empty. And I get that it's all a metaphor for optimism, but tend to be more of a realist, utilitarian, whatever you want to call it. It needs to make sense to me logically, you know. So it doesn't matter, optimism, pessimism, empty. Full. It matters how it got there, then I can make my determination. So, you know, as I said, it's always me. I care about all the minutiae and nonsense, which is why my brain never shuts off. But let's say hi to AP Taylor. Hello, hello.
Hello, pretty bud. How are you?
I am awesome. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
And there I thought you were going to say, who cares? Because, you know, that's the
No, well, you know, I care pretty bad, or otherwise, you know, I wouldn't be butchering Elton John songs, lots, and all that stuff.
Ah, that's lovely, though. That was, like, the best thing.
So, oh, no, I played it back, and I missed a few notes pretty good. But that's okay. You know, I gave it a good old college try, so that's the most important thing.
It absolutely is, and it was just fabulous. And, you know, and not for nothing, I couldn't do it, so you're better than I am.
Well, you know, it takes something. I'm not sure what. I won't say gut because it's, you know, not that. But anyway, it works sometimes. It's kind of cool.
What time is it over there by UAP?
I'm at lunch at the minute, Rack. It's currently 1:15 here on Thursday afternoon.
Wow. I never get to memorize the time zones, you know, next day, in the afternoon, in the morning, in the night, 12 hours, 13 hours, 15 hours.
Yep. Yeah, it's almost exactly the opposite, you know, almost, you know. So it's almost 12 hours different. So we're about 12 hours ahead, roughly, give or take, depending on the time of the year.
I kind of love the notion that you're from the future.
Yeah. I know. It's kind of weird.
And water runs backwards.
Yeah. Awful. Well, of course, we're in the southern hemisphere, of course. And so everything, you know, the water goes the other way down the plug, you know. So it's kind of fun, you know. You sort of...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. It makes me think of that episode of The Simpsons where Bart has that discovery and he's got to call Australia to find out.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you do. So, but anyway. So after all the fun and games of yesterday's show, I thought I'd better sort of throw something together in my lunch break that was appropriate, right? Because, you know, I was thinking that otherwise, you know, you might be struggling to get palms together, and I saw your board, and I thought you got a whole week. So anyway, there you go. There you go.
I appreciate that.
Awesome.
Did you want to dive right in?
Well, I can if you want. I can do that.
If you got time to hang out, you know, I'd like to wait. Maybe we could get you a couple more comments than just Pretty Bird and myself. But if you're in a rush,
I'll chuck it up on the board because I. You know, it's one of those things I really would like to hang out, but I really should do some work. It's one of those things. So it's sort of, you know,
you're saying if you care.
Yeah, well, from that last conversation, Pretty Bird, you were glad to know I didn't have a title for my poem, which I've just finished, but I do now. And it's called... Utilitarianism, as you can see, done 4 minutes ago. And it goes a little bit like this. Crowd who silently pay witness, not their way to be loud, yet far from listless, applauding by choice or marking on paper, seeking out a voice to change up this caper, as it's the acceptance of their current order that brings a sentence across and past borders. Opinions they rack, pretty steep recognition, the silence is off slack as birds ring to position. So some call to comment, while many others protest. Feelings are left spent within choices they rest. Beyond a moment to alter, the better future will snare. Our world is left to falter without those that care.
Oh, wow. I like that. You bring up the fact about, you know, the feelings and how they affect you and things like that. The ripple effect of the decision on those around you. it's funny, especially in our group in particular, because of, you know, the people that make it up. You know, you talk about people that care. You know, it's I won't say ironic in some ways. You know, you know, because we have some very caring people in the group, and most of them do, you know, give a crap. So, but yeah, that was lovely, AP. I really enjoyed it. You know, the usual rhyme and meter. A very enjoyable piece. Pretty Bird, what'd you think?
Well, I'm loving that there's a rack and there's a Pretty Bird in there. So, you know, because I got all excited. I love it. What?
That wasn't in the poem until 3 minutes ago, and then I thought, nah, stop it. I'm going to put Rack and Pretty Bird. Well, I put next.
I love the way you throw things together.
That was
all exciting. Absolutely. So I'm loving the stanza after that, where it's so some call to comment while many others protest. Feelings are left spent within choices they rest, as in wrestle, and that is awesome. And that is kind of, to me, the whole premise behind this who cares as it pertains to reality of those who use it. And they kind of fling that phrase around like it doesn't matter, but it's both hurtful and a shield. And it kind of feels just like that, because I know if I'm all butthurt about something, I'm like, who cares? It's like you don't really want to care. You don't want to admit that, you know, you're butthurt about something, because, you know, assuming it's not a real pain, you know. But then when you say it, or at least for me, when I say it, I always feel bad, because I always care about little, like, stupid things. And while for myself I give no shit, for everybody else I'm always overly concerned. so I do tend to overthink things 4,000 miles ahead of where I ever needed to go. And so that kind of spoke to me. And I love that you called it utilitarianism. That's just fabulous.
Literally, I just got the poem finished as I put the extra stanza in. And I sort of thought, what the hell am I going to call this? And then I thought, oh, I know what I'm going to call it. I was listening to you.
That is awesome. That is, I thought the way you just kind of breathe inspiration, it just amazes me, because I tend to be short of creativity as of late. So it's just like a breath of fresh air, the way you envision things and pick up on things to see the world. So that was fabulous.
No, very simple poem. Yeah. Sorry.
It's actually not that simple. Well, at least for me, there's a lot of layers to it. You know, sometimes the question itself is more of a plea to find somebody that actually does. You know, when you have that sense of despair, that you know things are sinking and going to hell. And you know you want to find someone that really cares. It's like, who cares? You know, you're searching for that person.
Yeah. Look, absolutely. And you know, when things get tough, and look, things have been pretty bloody tough with COVID. Now they're getting tough in a different direction, because everything's costing squillions of dollars more, and you're getting half what you used to. Yeah. So now getting tough in another way. But you know, it what that means though is that it sort of puts people under pressure, and when people are under pressure, they're less likely to show that they care. It doesn't mean that they don't; it just means they're less likely to show it. And I think that's what happens when you get people under pressure. And unfortunately, at the minute, I think we've got a lot of people under pressure.
Yeah, very much. Great thought.
Now I have that earworm.
Under pressure. Under pressure.
Yeah. I won't sing that, because that's miles out of my range as well. But but I think that's the case. And I'm sort of lucky, because A, I'm older, and B, I've got plenty of resources, and C, I've got thing around me, and so I can sort of sit back and look at this stuff and reflect on it. But I'm very fortunate, you know, compared to the average everyday person that's somewhere else, you know. So
and struggling in many different ways, but yeah, that's a blessing though that you're able to see things that way.
Yeah, and as I said, I'm very fortunate. I'm very, very fortunate because of that, and very fortunate to, you know, live here in this wonderful country, and you know, have the situation that was as we did on the weekend, where we voted out the last government very happily, and we put another one in. So, and that happened without people going on the streets, and it happened without tanks, and it happened without planes, and it just sort of happened, and that's kind of cool.
Absolutely.
Well, if you want to hear, I guess, the narcissistic end of the thought, you could put mine up on the board, Pretty Bird.
Oh, well,
before that,
let's say hello to Sweetie.
Hello.
Hey, Sweet.
Hey, darling.
Did you get to hear?
Can we congratulate
you
again?
I did not hear AB. Oh, thank you.
Okay, I kind of missed everything because over here there's like a lag. So what did you say, AP?
I was congratulating Sweet again because we ought to do it flop for getting a medal in the Winter Park competition that we sponsor. So,
oh, I know.
Sweet Rider Bridge.
Awesome.
Sweet Rider
Bridge. It was fabulous.
She needs a little bit of adulation for that, yes.
Yeah.
Well, kudos. Woohoo, Sweetie.
Thank you.
Well, I think you should have
won. You're welcome. So I put Rack and here we go.
Who Cares by Raconteur. My heart has been wounded, no solace in sight, no arms offer comfort, nor ears hear my plight, no eyes see my discomfort, no heart touched by my pain, profoundly alone, steadily going insane. Lips mouthing voices, ears hearing whispers and screams, or is that the sound of shattered dreams? Lungs struggle to breathe, mind barely aware. If I died tomorrow, would anyone really care? End poem.
Oh, I hate your Hurt Locker just a little bit. This
Dad.
Feeling of desolation is unfortunately not unfamiliar. You know, it's very... It's surprisingly easy when there is sadness or darkness to bury yourself in it and wrap up like a burrito and isolate yourself. I'm the queen of self-isolation. Not the healthiest way to cope with things, I admit. To be in that place, and it doesn't matter the logic behind the people that have stood by you and are still there if you feel alone. You cannot be pulled out of it that way by your own thoughts, because your own thoughts put you in there. And that is a very, like I said, desolate place to be. And it comes through and with such heaviness that and such familiarity. If anybody's ever been in that kind of darkness, it's like, ooh, I let me not fall back into that hole. And so great job with that. I mean, it's really, really slightly uncomfortable, if I'm honest, because it kind of puts you back into those moments in your own life that you were either deep in that or on the edge of falling into that, and it's almost like you're teetering there, not wanting to, because, you know, when you read a poem that takes you to your own experiences, you tend to experience them again, and I don't want to, so I'm just letting you know. And so... That's the discomfort. So, AC, what are your thoughts on this version of Who Cares?
Well, look, it's very easy to feel that. It really is, because sometimes, as I said, people shut themselves down, and it's a lot of people feel very alone in this world. And you can see, 18 people have said, they really like the poem because they relate to that feeling of individual sort of individuality, and the fact that there is no solace, and the fact that you're hearing voices and all you've got are things that, that aren't very happy. And so, I think this is something that is more common than what maybe sometimes we want to pretend it is, that there's a lot of people out there who feel very alone and the sense of not being cared for by others is a very strong one, and the sense that you're going to be missed. So, Rack, I can tell you would be missed if you're not here. So, there's one. It's bloody hard when you're in that headset, particularly if you've had a bad run and things have gone wrong. Feel that you're the only person out there, and almost always you're not.
Yeah, I mean, I almost want to say sometimes too, it's insulting to the people that do care to have that thought, but you can't really help it sometimes. The people that stand by you, like you mentioned, they stand by, they say, I'm your friend, and you kind of want to throw it back at them and say, well, you don't act like it, or you don't act like you care, because you expect more or you want more, but you got no right to ask that, so it's really very self-centered to put it the way that I did, but it's still a feeling that you almost can't avoid.
Yeah.
And it's very, very relatable. And Miss Lucy, what are your thoughts?
I just hate the hurt locker just like you do. And I think we're all at a point, some point in our lives we feel that way. I mean, it's equivalent to standing in a room full of people and screaming and no one hearing you. But I also think that it's just that moment in time. I think that once you know there are people that love you and care about you, you sometimes can pull yourself up a little bit and just remember, if I talk to that person, I talk to that person. And Rack, you have many people that would give a damn if you died tomorrow, as you know. But sometimes you just fall into yourself, and I kind of feel that's where this perspective was taken is, I just fell into the darkness of myself, and this is how I feel. So that was beautifully written.
Thanks.
Absolutely. It's funny with that what you said, Sweet, because it reminded me that somewhere long ago I wrote a poem, and I don't think it's on AP. I need to find it, called "Invisibility is My Superpower," because I'm never by myself, but I'm always alone, and most of the time it's not a bad thing, but sometimes it gets you just a little bit. But back to you, Mr. Rackentor.
Awesome. Sweet, are you on a time crunch? Did you need to read?
I do need to read, and unfortunately buzz away, but I definitely want to say hello tonight.
Well, if you want to throw it up on the board real quick, before AP has to run so he can hear it too.
All right. It is in your room, so... Oh, thank you.
I got it.
Brady Bird's got me.
Well, I might have
Brady Bird's got me.
Maybe I'll hear that. I'm half blind tonight because I'm working on tiny screens. Okay, you are up on the board, my dear.
Okay. This is called Twisted Trust. Icicles start the fires from little white lies that burn, twisted with bitters of orange liquors. Green stalks bloom perfumed flowers and roots in the darkness of manure. The hero and the villain lies in wake. Wedding bells tarnished as rice-floated birds explode. Vows of future lies in vaults unsecured. Guts spew outrage, ignorance fake, three blind mice, self-hate, smile blind, dried-eyed smile, teardrops, voice shakes. Cat and mouse hide and chase, burning by a fever and choking on the ashes of mistrust. No one watches the world turn. Days of rot turns into years of fear. But in the end, who really cares? And home.
Wow. This is thought off in such a way. I'll never look at orange liquor the same again. The whole piece has that feeling to it of, I don't want to say despair, but, you know, there's a sense of that in here. It's just the lies. And the, yeah. There's a feeling, for me, when, you know, you say when someone you care about gets hurt, you know, you don't want to believe that they could do something to hurt you. And so how can you say that you care if you can do something like that to them and hurt them? You know, it's very contradictory and hard to wrap your mind around sometimes. You know, you wouldn't act like that if you really cared. So how could you do that? The sense of betrayal, I think. You caught that in here for me in a way that's really unsettling. I love the way you write. I really do. You capture sadness in unusually beautiful way. It disturbingly beautiful way is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it shouldn't be as sound as lovely as it does, but, you know, you almost make someone want to wrap themselves up in it.
Wow.
AP, what'd you think?
It's neat, isn't it?
I like the mice and the three-blind mice, and I like the fact that it turns into the cat and mouse hide and chase. And I also like the sentence, days of rot turns into years of fear. Because there are, seriously, there's a ton of people out there who live in that space. And horrible place to be, but I think you described it really well.
Thank you.
And pretty bird.
Oh, my sweet, my sweet, my sweet. There is a difference, and to me it's a very big difference, between betrayal and perfidy. Because betrayal can happen by accident, and perfidy is a choice. And when you do something that you know, should they find out, it would result in somebody's pain. That's just what it is. And this is the aftermath of something that hurtful, because it breaks people. It's easier to get over or get through an accidental something. But when it's choices, it's hard to swallow. And that whole gut spews outrage, ignorance, fake, that whole... that dried-eyed smile, that's like sucking it up, because I can almost feel it in my throat being choked down, because you get to a point where how much can you cry? It doesn't matter anyway. And icicles start the fires. And that is a beautiful and very intense place to start, because if you're talking relationships, and it doesn't matter if it's a romantic relationship or friendship, any kind of interpersonal relationship, there's a certain warmth, a certain bubble of warmth that is that kind of happy zone of any workable relationship. And when that gets a little distant, or when that is cool on one side, it really does fuel all these other darker emotions, and sometimes it fuels it without reason, just out of our own fear or our own unfortunate histories. But when there is a reason, yeah, it brings me right to your line. Where is it? Where is the ashes? Oh, choking on the ashes of mistrust. because when you lose that, when that burns down to an unrecognizable powder, it's hard to breathe, and it's hard to even define yourself at that point, because if you trusted somebody wholeheartedly, then what does it say about your ability to judge people? And it makes you question everything. And it's a horrible place to be, and such a lovely way to present it, because this isn't ugly. You know, it's not, I tend to stab somebody and eviscerate them and lay all of their body parts out on the table and make you look at it. And this isn't that. This is probably about as beautiful as this kind of pain can get.
Thank you, Raver.
I love you.
I think we all do. Oh, man. And then I guess that comes around to you, Pretty Bird, if you want to read one while we still have somewhat of an audience.
I mean, you can save it to the end. I don't care. You know me.
Yeah, but you got two, you know? So... Let's give them one. Oh,
brownie, because the other one's really long. But this is on the board.
I like brownie.
I know you don't like chocolate, but I baked your brownies, and it goes like this. I hate cherries, but I like them in pie. I like your smile, but your attitude tastes like Tuesday's hangover. Let me call you friend, and I'll cherish the truth of the mess we all are. Hiding in a clear vase won't make you smell like roses. The thorns are all that remains of the scented silver lining anyway. Peanut butter, nutter butter, Reese's Pieces, a gift basket of anaphylaxis, a killing kindness, and I didn't feel like dying today. Not for you, at least. It's been years, and still you can't remember I hate pepperoni pizza. So you eat alone, and I choke on my tongue. You buy me cheesecake, my favorite, with cherries. This must be what hate feels like. Strawberries are a safe bet for a very toothy grin. That's never been the goal, though, or I wouldn't know what tears taste like. Pounding my head through your deflection won't change how I see you. And you still bring me pepperoni pizza and smile because you never remember. A piece of me dies in silence. I'm home.
the fact that this has got food and emotion both in it, that's one of the reasons why I enjoy it so much. You have a way about you. I'm always saying that. Always going to be a fanboy, I think. You know, the thing of this for me, you know, the way you call attention to someone not paying attention, it's the little things, the subtle interactions with someone that you know, should be obvious but aren't. And you know, some people just take them for granted in a lot of ways. It's like, you know, begging to be seen but still being invisible. You do this in such a way that it's really contemplative and heart-wrenching at the same time. I'll always love the way that you write. Very inspirational.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Sweet people.
Let's say hello to Deb.
No, she's not here. She's off celebrating her birthday.
No, she's here. She doesn't have a poem, but she's here.
Hey, Deb.
I had to kick at my kid. Hey. Who's here?
We almost have the full board. Someone drag Hatter out.
We just need Hatter. That means my sweet and AP are here somewhere. Yes.
I am here too.
We were just commenting on Pretty Bird's poem. You didn't hear it, did you?
I didn't, but while you comment, I'll go take a peek.
Sweet Pea, can you comment for Pretty Bird?
Well, I love the whole metaphor of food, and I love that the whole pizza because you never know what you're going to get on a pizza and you never know what's going to happen with that pizza.
It's my truth. It's been 28 years of freaking pepperoni pizza, and just now there's a clue.
I love that whole, it's been, you buy me cherry cheesecake, my favorite, or you buy me cheesecake, my favorite with cherries. This just must be what it feels like. Those are some brilliant lines, FYI. And, you know, they're still bringing you pizza, pepperoni pizza, because they never remember, and a piece of me dies in silence. It's like, why is it so difficult to remember what I like and what I don't like? Oh, my goodness. I just find this like a clear, blatant, you know, shout out, just, you know, hey, you call me a friend, you tell me you love me, but they're just simple little things about me you can't figure out. Like, I don't like pepperoni pizza. And I love hiding in a clear baseball and making sure I like it. I know. I mean, there's just so many other great lines in here that, you know, the thorns are all that remain of that scented silver lining anyway. Oh, my God. Writer's envy, writer's envy. Just a brilliant poem with tons of great imagery and metaphor.
And cheesecake.
Thank you.
And cheesecake.
There is a bit of a bait and switch with the brownies. There is a bit of a bait and switch with the brownies, though, because they only live in the title.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually love the brownies, you see. But I could not poo-poo the brownies.
AP,
I just took them out of the oven.
I'm not jealous. It's fine.
So many memories, Rack. I used to cook in our relationship for 20-odd years. So I did the shopping and I did the cooking. And so I knew what everybody liked and what everybody didn't, including down to the school lunches and what fitted and what didn't. But it made me remember way back before my family to when I was younger and we went traveling as a family when I was at university, and we put a couple of things together just while we could, and we ended up going to Hong Kong, and then we went up to Macau, and I can remember going to this beautiful hotel in Macau. We got there late and there was room service, and so my father said, look, let's all just grab room service because it's really late and, you know, we don't want to go out. And so there's this magnificent list of Chinese dishes, you know. You can have whatever you like. And I think they had sweet and sour or something that was just beautiful. And right down the bottom of the list, there was a pepperoni pizza. And God help me if my sister didn't order it, right, in Macau at 11 o'clock at night or something. And so the pepperoni pizza comes, and it's a miserable son of a pizza, right? Like, literally, you could have got something out of the three-minute freezer and put something together to look better than what this did. And she said, I'm really disappointed with my pizza. And I said, what do you expect? You know, this is the home of brilliant Chinese cooking, and you've gone and ordered a bloody pizza at 11 o'clock. Like, what do you expect? Anyway. Now that I've got that out of my system, that's my memory of Macau.
That's awesome.
Macau pizza.
I'll grab a pepperoni pizza. Oh, for God's sake. Anyway, what are you expecting? Anyway, and so, on the very opposite of that, it's interesting that the pepperoni pizza comes up here because it's a pretty obvious thing. Right? I mean, pepperoni pizza is pepperoni pizza. It's there's nothing more to it. It's pretty straightforward. You either like it or you don't like it. And I would have thought that would have got me about half a microsecond to work out. Yeah. And if you can't work that out, there's a problem. And there's a fundamental
problem. That is my
point
with communication. Exactly. It's a miracle I'm still here. I'm stubborn.
It is. I mean, if you've worked your way through far too many pepperoni pizzas you didn't want to eat, it's a brilliant metaphor, and not just a metaphor, it's a brilliant thing to talk about communication and to talk about what people do and what they don't do and whether they actually listen or not. and
or how progressive are they?
Yeah.
It's the oil on the pepperoni that makes it slippery.
Yeah, and my last bit is, for God's sake, when you go to Macau, don't order pepperoni pizza from room service. I mean, that just don't.
Promise.
Lesson learned.
Okay. No, never.
I don't think I'll order a pepperoni pizza from anywhere, so we're good.
Excellent. Just checking.
How you doing, Deb?
I'm pretty amazed that there's that many people in the same room that hate pepperoni, because I hate it too. that's either here or there. I just, you know, but like, no, this is like awesome, and I don't think there's anybody who can not relate to it from the title down. Like, you know, I don't eat chili, but I'll make it for people because I don't like kidney beans type of thing. So I feel you there. But to do something like that and then realize that that person doesn't even remember that you can't stand pepperoni or whatever the case may be, or maybe that, you know, if you sit this there, you're going to drive me crazy, but you sit it there anyway. So the attitude and stuff is in here. But strawberries are a safe bet for a very toothy grin. That's never been the goal, though, or I wouldn't know what tears taste like. And that's like, holy, I mean, the emotion in what those tears taste like is mighty evident. But the end there, the last two, a piece of me dies in silence. And it's just because, you know, you just bite your tongue and swallow it down, because it doesn't really change anything when you say something, and it just frustrates you more. So you just sit in silence. It's really awesome. And it inspired some excellent conversation, that's for sure.
She actually got a dog to give the pepperoni to.
I would not give that poor girl pepperoni. She has enough problems. She does not need liquid, but it's okay.
I could see you feeding the dog pepperoni under the table.
Oh.
You know, I don't know about you guys. Pepperoni pizza evokes the old school lunch thing in my brain.
They only served us cheese pizza at the school here when I was growing up.
They only served plain pizza, which was fine with me, but I remember the kids having cows because there was no pepperoni on the pizza. But, you know, I forgot something on the side note. I'm sorry. But I noticed in here that you had put peanut butter, Nutter Butter, Reese's Pieces, a gift basket of anaphylaxis. on a completely off-topic note, I thought I would say, I don't know who does or does not use Jif peanut butter, J-I-F. But if you have Jif peanut butter at home, look at the recall list. It's a big list.
Yeah, it is.
Saying.
That was a very kind thing to say. My mom.
I love
that. Food recall scared the crap out of me.
Yeah, yeah. My,
you know,
my
you
mother,
rack your brain going, did I eat that all gone like a couple of days ago? Am I going to die? It's horrible. It started with the whole Tylenol cyanide thing when I was a kid, and I wasn't even drinking Tylenol, but that was the first kind of any ingestible recall that I can remember, and it scared the crap out of me. So, you know, food recalls are their thing.
Did you need to read and run, Deb?
I didn't. I never wrote a poem because I was listening to the show from last night, and I had things to do, and then I had to take my son to work, and then I had to pick him up, and it's just, but I didn't want to not get to call and see everyone and say hi and whatnot, and so I called anyway.
And happy belated.
Well, now that you've got a bit of an audience, do you have any announcements you want to make? Things coming up?
My show on Monday is going to be really fun because I have the The word bank has a twist this week. They're all palindrome words. And you have to... You don't have to write a palindrome poem. You just have to use the words. So, for example, if you pick any one of the words, and you have to use the word that goes with it. So I'm trying to get on the page here. Here it is. Okay. So, for example, if you pick the word stink, you have to use the word nits, which is the word backwards, which is the palindrome of it. So you'll end up with 16 word bank words, and I don't think it's going to be an easy one. So it's kind of a challenge, and the artist is really crazy. So I can't wait to see what all my quirky friends come up with. But yeah, and I know that's not till Monday at 10, and then on Saturday night at 11 with me, Heather, and AP, that the topic is tea, like have a cup of, or Long Island iced, or whatever the case may be. And they're the two that I know off the top of my head. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb. AP, you don't have a show on Friday, do you? Is there a Sweet and Dour?
No. We're being rested at the minute, Rack. So I just have my little bits and pieces with Deb and crew. So although it is said that, you know, there's a high likelihood that I will write a palindrome for the palindrome show.
Surprise us all.
What's the palindrome number three, though?
Well, I haven't done a palindrome for a while. Looking back, I don't think I've done one for about 3-4 months, and so it must be time for one. I get into these strange, weird, wonderful moods and write palindromes, and then it goes, and I don't. So, you know, it's kind of weird. But anyway, it works that way.
I have written one in my lifetime, and that's good enough for me.
No, I think I've done about 5, roughly, give or take. But, you know, you've got to be in a certain very strange mood to write them. I can't describe what that mood is, but something weird.
I can't describe it.
You have to think backwards.
OMG. Yeah, well, sort of. You sort of have to think sort of halfway forwards. That sort of comes. We really like to write the front bit first.
Yeah.
And make sure it's sort of roughly okay. And then turn it around and get surprised by what I've written. It's sort of like another part of my brain thing. It's kind of fun. Anyway, that's just me. I know that.
That's awesome. It's definitely a skill and a different way of thinking, to be sure. I like wordplay in it, you know. It's almost, for me, as amusing as the double entendres. But anyway. All right. You don't have anything you want to read, Deb? What do we got next, Pretty Bird? We got a couple of people on that wrote for us. I think we have Wayne Palm.
Do
we know if he's gonna call or?
I don't know. We have Wayne. We have Lockdown Mars.
Lockdown Mars. Yeah, I don't think he's gonna call. Did he put needs a reader?
Nope. He didn't. Oh, does he? Okay.
Do you want to
put him up on the board?
Do you want to do a bit of reading before you run, Pretty AP?
Yeah, I'll read that one, and I'll comment and disappear into some work. So let's do that.
Thanks for hanging out. Great. Go ahead.
No,
ready?
Just will let me go to the board, and this is Heart's Harmony by Lockdown Mars, and it goes like this. In the mirror is the place to start, nothing more clearer than the beat of your heart being red, like the owl prime. A heart, not a head, is where all are the same. All live, all die, as heartbeat song. All laugh, all cry, all can sing along. In the mirror, a place of honesty, or getting nearer to where all can be.
meeting a mind, imagine a mirror's look, see a heart behind the cover of their book. Sunshine breaks through all his heart's harmony. I'll look out for you, you'll look out for me. End poem.
Wow. I like the way you cut right to the emotion, Lars. You know, when you talk about caring, you know, you can't help but think of your heart, or at least I can't. That's a beautiful tie-in to the thought when you talk about who cares. And you touch on the emotion that's connected to it in a wonderful way, too. This is lovely for tonight. Thank you. What'd you think, AP?
Yeah, I really liked it. I liked the use of all and how that went through the poem so it could finish with the I'll look out for you, you look out for me. It's very, very nice. I liked how it sort of gave that sort of feeling of totality in the poem and the way it was composed. So, yeah, no, I really liked it.
Awesome comment. Thanks. What'd you think, Deb?
I think it's great. I like it all, but I love that closing stanza. Sunshine breaks through all my heart's harmony. I'll look out for you, and you look out for me. And if more people practice just those last two lines, think of how much more amazing the world would be, you know, if we actually cared about the person next to us, which many don't, sadly. And then the other thing is the repeat of that in the mirror, a place to start, nothing more clearer than the beat of your heart. I think that this was excellent.
Yeah, it was a beautiful representation of, for me anyway, you know, do unto others. Sweet Pea, what'd you think?
Sweet Pea, drop.
Drop. Okay. That leaves you, Pretty Bird.
I found this to be wonderfully introspective, very much. And I took it two ways, and, you know, I'm odd that way. Whether you see your reflection in somebody's eyes, or you're looking in an actual mirror, and it's one thing to have somebody see you, or you see them beyond what they show you, which is a beautiful thing when you get to know somebody, but it's a very difficult thing to find in yourself oftentimes. And when you look in that mirror, I don't know about y'all, but people don't see me the way I see me. And so if I'm looking in a mirror and I don't see me as a whole, I see all the things I hate about myself. I see where I have signs of my years of life. I see where this has changed and that has changed, where I wish this was different. I see all the things in bits and pieces, not the whole picture. But those rare occurrences where you look at yourself and you see the totality and you see, you know, maybe a glimpse of what you look like to somebody else. And you could realize that you're more than just your broken parts. It's a big thing, and there's a shift of perception that happens. And this, very much with that use of all and all caps that runs through here, that introspection is a universal thing, that we all have those moments where we almost step outside of ourselves to see ourselves that way. And I found that to be quite brilliant.
It was a lovely piece. Where are we at? You messed me up by not bringing something, Deb. I'm sorry. I'm gonna. No, that's all right. I'm kind of picking on you. Is it obvious?
A little bit.
Yeah. And then Sweet Pea had to go and drop, and then I'm pretty sure AP was right behind her. So that leaves the three of us.
About to depart, correct. So I say goodbye and fare thee well, and I will catch you next time.
Good afternoon.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Don't work too hard.
I'll try not to, but I will at the very least have a very few cherries. So there you go.
Well, I'm sorry, but usually I would never call you out, but I have a hard time believing that you will try not to because you can't help yourself. But have a great afternoon.
I'll do what I can do, Deb. It's hard, but I'll try and restrain myself. You know me. Have fun, everybody. Talk soon.
See, now there's a phrase that we could play with too, restraining yourself. Anyway. So, what do we have on the board? We got Wayne.
We have Wayne, and then my long one.
I don't know that he's going to call. That's irritating. Wayne, what'd you do to me? oh my God! One of the things, if you played the show from yesterday, one of the things that was asked that I had regret that I didn't say about memories of you, you know, because we were talking about your birthday the other day, and yes, I will bring it up again because you're allowed to have more than one day to celebrate it. It can extend. One of my favorite memories was the day that you read the poem in Wayne's Wayne's poem in Wayne's voice. You did a Wayne, and I think I don't remember if it was me or not, but I was like, you know, saying to do it in his, and you were like, oh, and you did a beautiful impersonation. It was love. You wouldn't want to reprise it. You wouldn't want to reprise that, would you?
I could give that a try if you want. I know last night he fell asleep after the baseball game or whatever game he was watching, so it could have happened again. but yeah, no, I listened to the show this afternoon. It was absolutely amazing. I said to Sweet on the phone this afternoon that it was almost better that I didn't show up because, for one, a couple of different people said that they found it easier to talk about me when I wasn't there. And I told Sweet, as beautiful as the sentiment was, I kind of felt like I was eavesdropping on my wake. I laughed. I cried. At one point, I was sitting here, and my son's looking at me, pointing at me and rolling his eyes because I have a big grin on my face, but the tears are running down my face at the same time. So, I mean, it was spectacular. Everybody just blew me away, and I mean, I was touched by the things that people said about me, about the poems that were read, the songs that were sung, and it's just like, and AP, I meant to say something to him before he hung up. He stepped way out of his comfort zone with that particular Elton John song because he usually tries to stay away from those higher notes. So I was like, you know.
And he did the whole song.
Everybody.
Like, he went full parody.
Yeah, yeah. I like how it wasn't, you know, Rocket Man. It was Butterfly Can. I mean, it was just really, really awesome. Everybody blew me away. I was so touched. And I'm going to shut up now and read for Wayne.
Well, one second, because I must say that the highlight of last night for me was hearing Titus read your sensual, because I was like, oh, my. I was like, he said thrust.
I remember when he actually recorded that. The first time I listened to him read it, I was completely blown away because, like you said, it for one, coming in a male voice, and his voice and accent, it was just like surreal. So now I can't wait to see which one of yours he picks and what he does with it. Just saying.
I was so excited. I was like,
I know you put the challenge out there. Yeah, I heard you put out the challenge, and when I heard Sweet say, uh-oh, look on the board, Pretty Bird, he's going to do it. So I'm anxious to see what he does.
I'm all excited. All right, he actually did one. I have to send it to you. It's awesome.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. Very much. Yeah.
Did we
like
get express written permission from him to share that piece of work?
I think that's no. I mean, well, it's my work.
Yeah, but it's his voice.
But it's, but it's my work. But I think that he's all like me with the blanket permission, right? But I don't. But I don't. I don't know that it's PG-13. But okay. So Wayne is up.
Deb got lost in the conversation about Titus.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I
no, no,
I didn't realize you were ready for me. Okay, so here we go. It's called "I Care" by Wayne Gent. Here we go. Why a bubblegum child? TikTok and got lost. Pigtail parents, nails, suppers, crimson cloth. Denim dwelling dad drinks demon. I do drop in. Painted people pray. Camouflage Ukrainian men win. Tomorrow's tinted time throws teardrop on town. Screamshot shadows. Shooter shredded sound. Broken bones. Bloody button boys and burnt baby hair. Caress kid carcass commands cushioned crowd care. People pointing to polished politicians' platinum portrait. Shouting serrated stained sparks under street lamp wait. Puzzle pleated police patrol playground in perfect pairs. Weeping wrinkled wed women whisper words. Who cares? And pause.
Oh, Wayne. Oh, that was a great read, Deb. I kind of heard his voice in the background, too. So you did a great job, a great read. You know, I love some of the imagery that this man, you know, creates. You know, he's burning baby. What was it with the babies? I mean, damn. His mind goes to places that just boggle me sometimes, and I love it. I really do, because, you know, I like to think that I could be creative, and then he comes out of left field with some stuff. It's like, oh damn. Whatever you're on, Wayne, I want some. This is a lovely piece, and you know, it doesn't surprise me that you care. I really appreciated it. You read it, Deb. What'd you think?
Well, I have to say that Wayne is one of the alliteration kings. And he is a whiz at reading them, too. Was struggling a little bit because I felt in a couple of spots it was tongue-twisted. So I hope I didn't ruin the poem. But the poem itself, with all the cleverness inside it and that sort of, I don't know if it's a back-and-forth kind of feel to when he reads, like tomorrow's the time, no teardrops downtown. I could hear his voice as I was reading, and then a couple of times I felt like I read it wrong because it's not the way I heard him read it in my head. You know what I mean?
So yes,
that
I do.
Was my biggest fear, that I wouldn't read it well enough. But with stuff like puzzle pleated police patrol playground in perfect pairs, I mean, like I said, the king alliteration, and he can turn around and somehow spin these out of my word banks too. Which, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes, and he holds the world record for using the most. I think one of his poems had like 124, all 124 of the word bank words in it. And the most genius part about it when he does that, right? But when he does it, it doesn't seem forced. You don't even remember that there's a word bank because he's just really gotten so great at taking all my words and threading them into a poem. Now, not in this case, in his. I mean, I can recognize some of mine. But still, I think he did really brilliant. And I think somebody mentioned last night about a lot of people popping. Like, I can see a word or two here and there that people use that I know that came from a word bank. And it is a sobering feeling to realize that many people were influenced by a few of my crayons. You know what I mean? So it was very cool. But Wayne's one of them. He tells me at least once a month that, you know, I've made him a better poet and this and that. And it's just like, you're already a great poet. But it's just, you know, it's nice to hear. So I figured I'd shout out to him for the all the sweet little comments that he gives me, giving me more credit than I deserve. So thank you, Wayne. It was an honor to be your reader.
And I think Pretty Bird took one of your word banks as well. I don't know if it was 124, but I know she used every word of it.
151.
Okay.
It was tremendous.
Yeah, that's awesome. Even that's
awesome. Page, you got a, she got a front page pick for it, too.
I do. Now, that I love. Now, I absolutely love when a Monday show poem makes it their front page. And like Wayne, I got to go back to him, but he's got a whole bunch of tens that he tells me all because of my word bags, which I love hearing that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Pretty Bird.
Thanks. So this poem, I love how he is probably one of the kindest souls. I mean, he's funny, and he is way out in left field, and he cracks me up, and you never know what he's going to bring to the table on any given night. He's fabulous that way. He's always full of surprises. But, the one constant is he's got this huge heart, just this huge, he's just wonderfully kind and giving of himself. And I love that he took the whole who cares, apathetic, kind of lonely theme and said, me, I do. And there's all this stuff going on. And after yesterday's awful tragedy, which, you know, that was pretty much in his backyard somewhere, wasn't it? And he comes out with this poem that there's all this stuff going on that, you know, is kind of glossed over or not focused on, but he's all like, me, I care. And I absolutely love that because, you know, things affect him very deeply. He's highly emotive. And he laughs so much off. I mean, he can go through, like, the trenches of life and kind of stand up, laugh it off, brush off his suit, and keep on going. And, you know, I envy that because I am not that girl. I am up in the muck for a very long time. And when I'm out of the muck, I'm still covered in the muck. It is not okay. So he has this wonderful gift. And I absolutely love that he kind of did the flip side of tonight's thing. Because he's the only one who did that, you know, and that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the ideas of the expression too. You know how some people will say, you know, something about themselves just to hear someone else say, "Oh, that's not true." You know, it's some people, you know, they want to say, you know, "Who cares?" to hear someone say, you know, "Well, you know, I do." But anyway,
I tend to be of the faction that I get offended if you think I don't, you know, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
Because, you know, you would hope that if somebody is actually feeling that down, that they're not going to go and fish for compliments. So if they are kind of, if you know that they know better, and so it feels like they're fishing because they don't even remotely reflect any kind of sadness, not that they're not feeling it, but they don't reflect that. You know, I'm gonna be all like, so what am I, top liver? You know,
yeah.
I don't know if that makes me narcissistic or what, but you know, there's just certain ways people say things that elicit the different responses. So we spoke earlier in the show about the tonality of those words, about who cares, because we're like, who cares? We're good. We'll just get this done and whatever. Like, it's no big deal. And then it's all like, yeah, who cares? Like, F you, and everything in between. So it's very much not just what you say, but how you say it, which was a very tough lesson for me to learn because I tend to be clipped when I talk or very short when I'm, like, in the middle of doing something. I need information. I'm like, yes, no, God, move on, fine. But I don't feel any kind of way about it. But apparently it intimidates people. And because I'm very clipped, got to go, goodbye. But to me, it's nothing. I'm just busy. And it took me a very long time to understand that other people see that as I'm kind of bitchy, you know? Like, no, I'm just busy, wrong word. So, you know, it's very much a phrase that, kind of like the whole, you know, F-U phrase. That you can say that,
yeah,
you know, 2,000 different ways, those same two words. It'll mean 2,000 different things. You can be excited, you can be sad, you can be angry, all these things. And so it's interesting how tonal such very specific phrases are, and who cares is definitely one of those.
I care.
I always care. I care too gosh darn much. If I could care, you know, a little bit less, I think my brain would be less full and might actually learn how to relax.
That's painful. You know, when you care, you're the one that cares, you know, and people don't, you know, some people tend to take advantage of that.
No, it's funny because part of the human condition is there's this unreasonable expectation that people are going to react the way you would react. And when they don't, it's like you don't know them at all. It's like it's almost like you were offended. Like, you're not who I thought you were. Well, you know, but I have to remember, well, they're not me. So why would I expect them to think exactly the way I think when I know that I'm kind of odd, you know? But it's funny. I lost my train of thought. Jeez Louise, my mind just went off the rails and shut down for a second. But
you said odd duck, so
it's that
bird brain still.
That is true. But yeah, so when we try, and it is something that we have to actually work at, because I don't know anybody. And, you know, I could be wrong. It could be just be me. But I don't know anybody that has not suffered from that. The whole, you know, they didn't react right. But there is no right because everybody's their own thing. There's a very hard twist in the way you react to things to take time to understand why they're not reacting the way you react. But I wish that I could be those people that I don't understand why they can just eat dinner when I have so much anxiety that I can't even look at food because everything weighs so much. And it's like, you know, it'll work itself out. And I'm like, are you? Like, how are you not worried about A, B, and C? I was like, I get that I can't change it, but I need to suffer through it a little bit before I can walk away from it and let it do its thing. And so many people don't do that. They're just like, well, can't change it. Move on. We'll see what happens. I'm like, no, I need to process, and then I'll be okay. So it's really kind of funny. It's, you know.
I think the irony, too, lies in the fact that, you know, we're writers, and, you know, we tend to have a certain relationship with our words. And, you know, even coming down to the comments on our poetry, you know, people get butt hurt over certain things. It's like, you know, you're trying to say something and people don't get it. And it's like, you know, well, why are you upset? It's because, you know, I wrote this poem about, you know, this and nobody saw it or nobody understood it. You know, it's a thing, I guess. I don't know. Oh, the relationship we have with our words.
This is why I take a who cares attitude exactly for that reason, because nobody understands half the things I write and I'm okay with it. And I love that poetry in particular lends itself to everybody else's feelings. Once you burst it onto whatever medium you're gonna publish it on, it belongs to whoever reads it in that moment, and they're going to do with it what they will. And it took me a very long time to not – to let them fly on their own and not feel some kind of way about what people thought about it. So people like it, people don't like it. Oh, it's there, it's done. I don't care. We're good, you know. And but it's hard when it's pieces of you to separate yourself from people's reactions to it. You know, it's a whole lot easier when you can, but it's not easy to get to that point. Or that you see me too, because, you know, I tend to be hot.
I think we need to stop dominating the conversation, Deb.
Dominating the conversation? I'd like to listen to you guys talk.
I feel like, you know, we're alienating you, though.
Nah, not at all.
You don't care.
No, I care too much. That's probably the problem. But no, I was just listening to the conversation. I might have said something once or twice and not realized that I was muted, but no,
well, I think we've only got one more poem for the evening. It's pretty, if you want to rip into it, Pretty Bird.
Absolutely. It's on the board. If I can find which tab it is, because I've got them open and they're all small. Here we go. This is, excuse me, this is Silent Melodramatic Interpretations, or Sometimes I Ramble. So what? I don't know. I look for you in my glasses, because apparently it's that time of night where my eyes stop working. Okay. I look for you in the middle of the night, but only find you in daylight when there never seems to be a good enough reason, which inevitably devolves into a discussion of thought on who is good enough for whom. Is it words or actions, both or neither? And why does saying hello feel like insanity poured over the most decadent cheesecake? Sleep has never been a close personal friend. Every time I roll over, I can't help but wonder if I will ever stop feeling so empty, or if I will stop racing through my own head, knowing the only time it slows was when you sauntered through me. It's peaceful in the moment when I'm full. Maybe I shot myself in the foot because I never needed logic for truth. Can't rationalize caring. We can only choose to trust it. It's hard to trust emotion when the truth is thing you hate about yourself, and you hate everything you love about me. Since no part of love is hate, I can't figure why you like knowing I care but will never admit that you might. You scare me in thoughtless betrayal. Your station and excuses voice my secret. I'm not supposed to know that, am I? I've walked away for miles less and built fortresses out of doubt shadows, but here I stand, cold and naked, fractured and frail. Look me in the eye and tell me I never mattered. I won't believe you, like I won't believe you'll catch me if I stumble, so I don't stumble anymore. I look for you in the middle of the night. Sleep has never been my friend. I never needed logic for truth, and saying hello feels like insanity. I can't figure why you like knowing I care, but will never admit that you might. I'm not supposed to know that anymore.
You know, there's so many nuggets in the things that you can write. I love this. The idea, there's such, I don't know, being seen and or not being seen, and the relationship between the two, and I almost want to say the dichotomy between caring and not caring, and seeing and not seeing, and the feeling. I mean, you just have a way. you laugh, you leave me speechless, and you know it. Deb, what'd you think of this bit of Pretty Bird brilliance?
I agree with that statement for sure. On a side note, before I comment on the poem, though, part of my comment was going to be, look at that, Pretty Bird just rendered him speechless. And with all due love and respect, I don't think it's an easy thing to render you speechless, Mr. Reckontor. but the poem, like the powerful emotion in it, like just captures you up between your voice and what you're saying. It's mesmerizing. And what really stuck out, well, one of the many, pieces of it, or as Rack put it, the nuggets. What you said about, I don't trust that you'll catch me when I fall, so I won't fall anymore. Something to that effect. I walked away from the computer, but like that just stands out. That, you know, even though there's no confidence in the fact that you'd be caught, the strength of making sure you don't fall shows too. So the contrast of the lack of trust that you will be caught and the strength of not falling at all is pretty potent right there. But everything you write usually is, and more than once you have rendered me speechless as well. And maybe it's a Jersey thing, I don't know, but it's not very easy to render me speechless either. So that's powerful pen, but it's great as always. And I have to admit, between listening to you on the radio and hearing you tonight, it's really good to hear you, Pretty Bird, because I've been sending all kinds of healing prayers your way, and you've been missed. And come when you can.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that more than you know. And Lord knows I need all the help I can get because it's been rough. I love that you picked that whole so I don't stumble anymore, because the part of that, but right before that, it says, but here I stand, cold and naked, fractured and frail. So not wanting to know the truth that I will taught is a very tough thing when you can barely get through a day. And I love that you picked that, because it doesn't really go into that whole thing. It just kind of says it as it is. And that's probably my favorite part of this whole thing. Unfortunately, that's a horrible place to be. And if you're in that place enough that you need to put words to it, it sucks. But I really appreciate that. Like, that was just awesome to hear. Thank you.
Part of the idea behind that, at least for me, is the fact that, you know, you learned that to be vulnerable like that is to be hurt. So you're refusing to be vulnerable, and that thought in itself is just heart wrenching, because you know when you stifle your emotions and you try and push it down and deny how you feel, that to me is a tragedy. But you know, the overall feeling of just not being able to be yourself and let go and you know, trusting, like you say, that you're going to get caught. Is heartbreaking too.
Yeah, I agree. And at a time when you feel like you need to be caught the most, and know that you won't be, it's also gut-wrenching.
You know, it's one thing to know; it's another thing to be proven right. And to know enough that you don't want to find out that you're right is horrible, because it's not like you ever doubt that you're, you know, you don't doubt or think that you're wrong. You just don't want it to be tangible. You know, you don't really want to know for sure. You need that little tiny sliver of hope that maybe you're reading it wrong, you know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
You're usually not, you know.
It just leaves you that little bit of room for denial that you need sometimes, or totally takes it away from you entirely. Yeah, I get it.
It's
one of my favorite parts.
What was that?
No, I was going to make a crack about a pun about denial is a river in Egypt. Go ahead.
I was going to say that whole sliver of hope, that whole, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing, it reminds me of being stuck in fear and not knowing what you fear more, the fear of failure, which is kind of everybody's comfort zone to a certain degree, because everybody fails at something at some point, so they know what that feels like. But fear of success is a huge thing, at least for me, because I'm insane. And because what happens if you get everything you want and nothing changes? What do you hold on to? Where does the hope go then? Once nothing changes, you know?
It's in that bowl of freaking.
I can fail left and right all day long. What was that?
I said it's in that bowl of free candy.
I will finish that story one day. He gets on my case a lot about things I have started and not finished, and I should actually finish them, but, you know, my mind never goes there until he reminds me. They're, it's all tucked away in compartments that I don't look at. Oh, my goodness. I think that is all the poems. Are you sure you don't have a poem loosely related to apathy, disdain, or something?
I was trying to dig through there, but it's the opposite of me. I mean, I care about every damn thing, whether I want to or not, so I don't have, I mean, I had one or two
so
that might have fit.
Too much like Wayne.
Well, no, because the couple that I had that were in the right wheelhouse were the wrong ratings. So, I meant what I said when I first called it. I really just called to hang out with everybody because I didn't get to last night.
I appreciate that.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to do these shows. So I can roll that into kind of a thank you for you and for everyone that wrote for the show, and you know the people that take the time to call in and hang out, and you know it's not just writing. You know, it's knowing that people are going to listen and enjoy it, and even the inane conversation and my insanity, and some of the irreverence and familiarity and inside jokes. It makes this a lot of fun, and you know, we can't do it without you and everyone else that supports us. So that's very much appreciated. There's an actual shot that I could actually name everybody for a change. I don't know if I'm brave enough to try. Maybe I am. Thank Kane and Lockdown Lars, AP Sweet, Deb, Pretty Bird, because, you know, it's hard work making me look good like you do. Who am I forgetting? Because I know I got to be forgetting somebody.
I think that's it.
I did name everybody? Hey.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that wraps things up for the night. So we could end early, so you got a little extra time to pin on the end of another show if you need to, or however that works with Blog Talk and everything else. But we're done for the night, I guess. So we can wrap things up and say see you guys again next month. Thank you, Deb, again for everything and making all this possible.
Thank you. It was fun while I was here, and I appreciate you both very much, and I appreciate you trading the sweet so that 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 great show could be made for me, and I guess we will see you next month, and Pretty Bird, continue to take good care of yourself. It was nice hanging out with you both.
Doing the best I can.
Love you.
Thank you. Oh, we
that's all you can
miss. Our show on Tuesday. Yeah, so
it is
on her Down the Tube. Yeah, she's got Down the Tube, and she's got wonderful underwater creatures that are fabulous. My favorite octopus, a squeaky fighting mantis shrimp, and all kinds of peacock mantis shrimp, and all kinds of good stuff. So check that out, because she's always got the most interesting stuff.
For sure. Yeah, I'm working on the peacock. All right, you guys.
Yeah.
Good night,
guys. Good night. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.